super strong, supernatural, and super bad. His punch can topple a skyscraper. His kick can split the earth in two. More destructive than an earthquake, mightier than a tidal wave. A one-man disaster area.
42nd Street Pete.
Shot full of lead and he still ain't dead. Jump back, Jack, for your skull is cracked.
42nd Street Pete.
Well, Saturday night, sorry I'm not that upbeat, but if anybody was reading anything I posted on Facebook since Cinema Wasteland, you know what happened. If you don't, one of my oldest friends from 40 years, Frank Gentile, passed away Wednesday night after a long and unnecessary hospitalization down in Arizona, and I will get back to that in a minute, but I just want to address Cinema Wasteland, you know, not to be a total prick and be a bummer tonight, but unfortunately this is probably going to play out like a wake. Great show, as always. Really appreciated. A lot of listeners came up to me and told me how much they liked the show and, you know, and urged me to keep it up and stuff. So, like I said, you guys are the guys I'm playing to. Ken Keish and I put together a VHS presentation, which had standing room only for the hour that we ran it. Myself and Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, had a hardcore slamming wrestling hour, and Toby sold some of his stuff. Unfortunately, I don't know if we had mentioned we were trying to run a wrestling show this weekend. I don't know if I had said that or not.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, due to the State Athletic Commission being ratted out and the fact that they don't allow death matches in Ohio, we can't run the show. Toby had to shut the show down and got some of his money back. Couple issues came up in his personal life that he has to address, and I wish him well on that. But it's not to say that, you know, maybe in October we couldn't put something together and, you know, just not do the blood and gut shit, just do some, you know, hardcore old ECW style wrestling. And trying to think what else happened up there. The auction, we raised over $800 for the Save the Chapel group. It was cool seeing a bunch of, you know, the original ghouls that were there that, you know, so far have never come to a convention except Wasteland, and, you know, they were well received there. And Saturday night was another insane mess, and I've completely, you know, given up the fact to say, as much as I say I'm not going to stay up till 4 or 5 in the morning, it always happens, so nothing I can do about that. But now, back to what I brought up before. I usually don't go into stuff like this, but this has really hit me hard. I found out about this when I came back Monday, and I've been in touch with his life partner, because when they were legally married, you know, for the whole week up until today when I got the news of what, you know, what transpired. I had met Frank Gentile back in 1978. I was bouncing between the mechanics jobs. I got laid off from one place, went to another place, got fired from there, went back seeing if I could get back in, but they were having money problems, so they had referred me to this warehouse called Chago. And, you know, I got hired as a schlump, obviously. And my boss supervisor was Frank Gentile, a 5-foot Italian guy who screamed and yelled a lot. And initially I was afraid of this guy because he was from the Bronx and, you know, everything I knew about mob guys and stuff, he fit the pattern and shit. And he was prone to blowing up, exploding, and I heard him yell one day, I got to settle anybody's hash, I'll settle it with my fist with the men and with my mouth with the women. So I'm like, all right, this is going to be a problem because I don't take orders too well. But we were sitting there one day and he mentioned a name that I knew. And I said, where do you know that name from? And he goes, where I drink, Monahan's, the Linford. And I says, well, as luck would have it, that's my watering hole at night. So we struck up a friendship. And that friendship endured for up until today. I mean, I worked for him. I don't know if we lasted a year because there was somebody in there who wanted him gone. And there was a whole big deal about that. And they got rid of him. And getting rid of him, I went too because I'm a loyal type of guy and I don't like people getting fucked. And he went somewhere else and tried to get me in. But that place was Union. And when they found out I was a mechanic, they wanted me to work on trucks. And at that point, I was like, no, I'm done. I didn't want to do this shit anymore. And not for, like, whatever the scale they were paying, which wasn't that much. I wanted to work with Frank. So, be that as it may, I actually got hired back at the other place. And Frank and his friend Noreen moved to Arizona. And we were still in touch. And Frank wasn't really liking it down there that much. So he called me up and he goes, look, I want to get back into the garment district in New York. He goes, that's where I make my money. And can I stay with you for a while? And I said, yeah, no problem. I was married then. I had extra room. So he came up. Now, Frank unfortunately had a little booze problem. And he had been on the wagon until he hit Penn Station in Newark where somebody fucked with them. I think ripped them off and he got nervous and had a drink. So when I got down there, he was smashed. So we had to go through that. But got a job in New York. He stayed with me for a couple months, then found an apartment closer because I was, you know, a little bit ways from New York back then. So after that had played out, he went down back down to Arizona and found out that he had mouth cancer. And he was a Korean War vet. You know, these guys all smoke Pall Malls and shit and, you know, that and the drinking. And he had to have mouth surgery, which pretty much curtailed him ever coming back to the East Coast. Now, I'll admit I feel like a total fucking asshole because I never managed to get down there, but unfortunately life takes over. So we were always in touch, you know, talking around the holidays and things like that. And his health was taking a turn for the worse at one point. I had talked to him around Christmas time. And he wasn't doing that good, and I called him up, and because of the mouth cancer, you know, the surgery, they had a feeding tube in him. You know, they do this now. And while I was talking to him, he was having trouble with the tube, and he had to hang up. Now, in between all, you know, that shit moving up here and stuff, I hadn't talked to him in a while. So when I got back from Wasteland, I got a voicemail from Noreen that Frank was dying. And I completely flipped out. And my mother had called me because she had called my mother and she lost my number. So I called her up and she had told me this horror story about how he had been sick since January. They put him in the hospital and they blatantly lied about a lot of shit and his insurance wasn't good enough. So this is another system where we're going to order tests, we're going to order tests, we're going to order tests and have him on painkillers and keep him bedridden and the insurance runs out. And he was also going to the VA, and the VA told him he didn't need Medicare or whatever the fuck it is. I don't know. I'm not an expert at this shit, and I don't pretend to be. All I know is it sucks. So she had told me this, and of course, whatever I can do, and which what can I do? Well, she said he wants to die, and I don't want him to die. I want my Frank back. And I said, I'm not trying to say anything here, Noreen, but he's in pain. He's very ill, and I know as much as you want him back and as much as I don't want him to go, I think it's only, you know, only right that he does go because he's suffering and he's in pain. Well, something you don't even know about me, maybe I never mentioned this, maybe I did. I'm a Reiki practitioner. And Reiki, I may have even saying it wrong because I'm a dumb fuck, but what happened with Reiki was, how I came across it was, a similar situation where, you know, I had prostate cancer and you know what happened. They almost killed me. Another medical fuck up where they're doing major surgery and the medical insurance wouldn't allow me to stay in a couple days where I should have been. I got kicked out within 24 hours. I went up with a blood clot. It almost killed me. I had fucking pneumonia. I was laying in my own fucking shit, for lack of better words, in that fucking hospital for 10 days. I was done. My ex-wife came in, who's got a laundry list of problems herself, and we were married. She was misdiagnosed with a bunch of shit, and she had MS, and I'll get onto that later on. But anyway, she came in, and she says, I can do something for you if you let me. And this was the Reiki. So I let her do it. I had no clue what was going on. All I know is that after she did it, an hour after she left, I was out of fucking bed and walking. And, of course, physical therapy tried to take credit for that. I'm like, no, my ex-wife did something for me. I don't understand it, but she did it, and it worked. I got to keep my throat lubricated because, quite honestly, I've been crying like a fucking baby all day. So she had asked me if I wanted to learn this, because she was a teacher, and this is what she did now. So I said, okay. So I took, you know, she taught me. I maxed out at level 3, or level 3 Reiki practitioner. Now, whether you like me, you don't like me, whether you think I'm full of shit, whatever, this shit works. You can ask a lady in California who had a problem, and I can do this long distance. It's spiritual hearing, it's energy healing, whatever you want to do, look it up, figure it out for yourself, but this is what happens. There's a girl in Brooklyn whose mother is wearing a colostomy bag because she had asked me for help, and I did something the night before the surgery. Serena, my fake daughter's real father, was having open heart surgery, real bad shit, like a quadruple bypass. They didn't expect him to live, and she had asked me for help, and he's still alive. He got through it. To a lesser extent, Kyra's dog, Rusty. We've all seen posts about that. I did something with her, and the dog perked up. It's not something I tell a lot of people. A lot of people say, well, if you're that good, you can probably do this and make money. No, because it's a gift. And it was a gift given to me by my ex-wife. I could have fucking laid there and died, but she came in and intervened. And the point of this other thing is, you can also use this to ease people out of this life, to help them pass on. Well, I had done something earlier in the week. When I found out about this, I had called my ex-wife. She had done something. Yesterday afternoon, around 3 o'clock, I did something again. Frank passed yesterday afternoon. It's not something I wanted to do, but I had to help my old friend, my brother. And, you know, that term brother is kicked around very loosely, you know, in bars and shit like that. But us old school guys, and Frank was 70-something, I'm going to be 60 in September. We were truly brothers. You know, not blood brothers, but we were brothers in every sense of the word, where there wasn't nothing I wouldn't do for him, and there wasn't nothing he wouldn't do for me. Even though we were far apart all these years, we kept in touch. And like I said, I kicked myself in the ass. I never got out there to visit him, but, you know, planes, you know, my own fucking anxiety levels and shit like that. And like I said, life takes over, and it's no fucking excuse, but it happened. And part of the point of what I'm saying tonight is that the horrible medical care that he got added to his demise. The same way the horrible medical care I got almost killed me, because you got to realize something, and maybe there's good doctors out there. I met a few years back, way back years, and they're no longer practicing, and this is the reason they're no longer practicing, and they're not that old. They had it with this shit. I mean, these guys were good doctors. I mean, how many doctors would, from right out of surgery, not even taking a break, run down to the ER to saw my fucking hand up that I almost just ripped off working on a car? That's what I mean. Doctors that gave a fuck about their patients, not this assembly line shit today. And I know there's a few people listening tonight that have lost people, you know, to cancer and other diseases and went through medical horror shows similar to what I went through, to what Frank went through. And it's not right. We're supposed to be the richest country in the world, and we're jerking around with health insurance. There was something, I'm not even exactly sure, I popped something up on the internet a while ago, and it's this whole battle about how the Supreme Court can legitimately return Obamacare or something like that. I'm not that sold on Obamacare. I'm not that sold on somebody making me buy insurance so somebody else can make money. I don't understand what's going on. All I know is that every other civilized country in the world has some kind of health insurance for their population. They take care of their people. And for some reason, the people here seem to downgrade this shit or make light of it that it's shitty care. Well, how the fuck does any of us know that? We don't go there. We've never been there. So we can spend tons of money blowing up other fucking countries and starting these fucking phony wars and doing all this other shit. We can't take care of our own people. And the sad part is, sometimes when we do, we fucking torture them. Worse than that fucking prison in, you know, Iran or Iraq or whatever. It's the same shit. Man, I laid in the bed with a fucking IV in each arm, fucking oxygen on, and my dick in a fucking jar, okay? I couldn't do anything on myself, by myself. That's fucking torture, and it was unnecessary, because if they fucking done what they were supposed to do and figured something out, it wouldn't have happened to me. And another thing is, how the fuck do I know I actually had prostate cancer after the fact? I mean, you hear that big C word, your mind shuts the fuck down. And you'll agree to just about anything to live. Well, I think I agreed to the wrong shit. Because I suffered the consequences. And it's a terrible, fucking terrible thing to see good people like Frank, what my ex-wife went through. See, my ex-wife was actually the breadwinner in the house for a while because she was a head nurse on a dialysis unit. And she collapsed at work. She started collapsing at work. And big thing back then was chronic fatigue syndrome, and I had to drag her from doctor to doctor to doctor, and it was a fucking nightmare, because sometimes you had to go to New York, sometimes you got to go to Newark, sometimes you had to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and do this shit. Well, a lot of shit happened back then, and one thing that did was, this jerk-off doctor that had her, and his name is Nadelson. If you ever get a Dr. Nadelson, fucking throw him out on his ass. He wrote a fucking book, How to Be a Good Doctor. He's a piece of shit. All right? He was calling my wife up and asking her, well, how you doing today? 2-minute conversation and billing the insurance company $25 a fucking call. I got a phone call about this shit. I went fucking berserk. And then the other thing was, he took her down to a VA hospital, and they were poking her and prodding her with a bunch of fucking people, and she was in a wheelchair. I fucking got up, I wheeled her out, I walked up to him and I says, I will cave in your fucking skull if you ever pull this shit again. Well, he got to her because, you know, he twisted her around and turned her against me. No, he's my doctor, he knows what's best, he doesn't want you to come down with the visits anymore. So, this motherfucker made sure I stayed the hell away from him. And then the other thing was, the disease was actually multiple sclerosis. And he said it wasn't. And she went to the top MS man in fucking East Coast. His name was Cook. And he said it was. And this miserable fucking cocksucker tried to override him at every turn. So she suffered for it. It took her, God, she was completely fucking disabled. It took her 2.5 years to get Social Security disability. I took her to the Who reunion concert, or the Tommy concert at the Meadowlands, in a fucking wheelchair. And then it wound up where the whole marriage went into a downward spiral, which it was headed anyway because of other stupidity, but this sort of pushed it over the edge and we went up with a divorce. But we're still friends today, unlike other fucking people I got involved with. But this is what I mean about these doctors, these fucking vultures that just make money off human suffering and keep it going and keep it going. Then there's another thing with this. I'm just looking at this thing and I just brought it up about how if the government can mandate insurance, it can also require people to eat broccoli. This is a fucking Supreme Court justice is making this statement. I don't agree with anybody trying to make me buy anything, but if you actually have a legitimate way to fucking solve this problem and stop making money off fucking human suffering in this country, because this seems to be the only country that makes money off keeping you sick. I mean, let's face it, boys and girls. Look at all these drugs they advertise on TV. Look at the fucking side effects. They make heroin look like fucking gumdrops. All right? Tell me if I'm wrong. I mean, seriously. You know, you all know the side effects of heroin. Look at all these other fucking side effects of shit. Unfucking believable. And you walk into a doctor's office and you see all this paraphernalia laying around, pens and pen holders and shit with all these drug companies' names on. They're prescribing what they fucking bought stock in because they're going to make money on it, whether it fucking works or not. So, yeah, it's fucking wrong. And another thing that came out of left field this week, I remember, I don't know if you remember, Todd, I posted about my friend dying before Christmas.
Yeah.
Well, it was supposed to be a heart attack. His wife called me up this week, like I needed this information too to add another brick on my fucking psychological load here. They did an autopsy on John. He didn't die from a heart attack. His lungs were full of fucking fluid. And that wasn't supposed to be. So this is obviously somebody covering something up that they fucked up. But the sad part is she had him cremated, so they can't redo the autopsy. So here's another guy. Medical fuck up. I got a laundry list of medical fuck ups. Norman, the guy I worked for, you know, another guy I would call my brother, because that's the way we were, all right? They fucked him up so bad that he actually yanked the fucking tube out of his mouth, and his last words were, I'd rather die than have this done to me again, and he died, and they fucked him up. And ironically, his doctor is the same scumbag that was John's doctor. And it goes on. A buddy of mine, Ted, from up in Rockaway, we were doing that whole bit. Another guy, Korean War veteran. They fucked up a quadruple bypass, and he died. The guy who drew the 42nd Street Pete t-shirt, Chris Schrumpf, great guy, died at 43 years old from complications due to lymphoma, a.k.a. he went to Hackensack Medical Center as Ted. His wife told me they fucked something up, some treatment. They basically burned his insides up, and he died. So I'm going to put my fucking faith and my fucking trust in these motherfuckers? No fucking way. No way at all. I don't give a fuck about health insurance. I canceled mine. I'm going for acupuncture now and chiropractic. That's it. You know something? I'm not sure if I believe with a big man in the sky with a beard and shit like that. But I know there's something else, because there has to be something else, just for the fucking simple fact that I can do what I did with Frank, with other people, with this gift I have. And that tells me there is some kind of higher fucking power out there. And you, Todd, as somebody who fucks around with the paranormal, has to know there's got to be something beyond this fucking shit.
Yeah, I agree.
So, what I'm saying is, I guess my whole point to this is, what fucked Frank and Noreen was because they were older and alone and didn't have anybody to go to bat for them. What fucked me was, I was just coming off some fucking bad shit and ready to leave the state, and I was staying with my parents who are older and don't know any better, and when the fucking big C word came up, I was on my own. So, my advice to anybody, if anybody you care about, be it friend, be it family, has to go to the doctor and has to go there, go with them and ask the right fucking questions, because odds are they're fucking scared shitless and they're not going to ask the right questions. And that's what happened to me. And that's what happened to Frank. That's what happened to fucking Norman. That's what happened to John. That's what happened to Chris. That's what happened to all my fucking buddies. All fucking dead because of these cocksuckers, these money-grubbing fucking whores who don't give a shit about us. All they want to do is line their goddamn pockets. And if they make a mistake, well, they got malpractice insurance. Fuck them. Sorry. I'm just, I get pissed because 70-something's too young to die in this day and age. And so is 43, for that matter. And, you know, you can sit there and pontificate about all these wonderful things and, you know, these wonderful cures and shit, and you show these people. Why don't you show the other fucking side of it, your fuck-ups? Because I think they override the fucking good. You know, another thing too, boys and girls, don't run to a fucking doctor with every goddamn problem. Maybe you can figure it out yourself. You know, like, you can ward off shit by taking echinacea. You can do a lot of shit. You got the internet. Look for fucking shit. Don't ask me. I'm a dumb fuck. I can get shit done. Ugh, trouble is my fucking throat's drying up now. Yeah. So I guess we're midway point here, and I guess I blew my fucking wad. This is not something I wanted to do. This is something I felt I had to do. This is something I felt I had to tell people. And I'm not trying to unburden myself. I'm just telling the truth here. And I think, Todd, you just posted something up that somebody in your circles got this guy diagnosed with terminal cancer.
Yeah, he was diagnosed and he has had 6 months to live, and then 3 weeks later he died.
Yeah. Right on the money, ain't they?
It's terrible.
I mean, this is what I mean. Nobody can predict when you're supposed to go. Nobody knows. I don't, you know, I'm sucking this cough drop for a minute.
Well, that's not a problem. Matter of fact, we're probably going to go to break, so if you want to take a quick break, we can.
All right, let's take a break.
We'll be right back, guys.
Thank you. There's a lady who's sure all it glitters is gold, and she's buying the stairway to heaven. When she gets there, she knows if the stores are all closed, with a word she can get what she came for. She's buying a stairway to heaven. There's a sign on the wall, but she wants to be sure, 'cause you know sometimes words have two meanings. In a tree by the brook, there's a songbird who sings. Sometimes all of our thoughts are misgiven.
Big bag of Skittles. Lemon, lime, grape, watermelon. Oh!
Jackalope 105 FM.
Ladies and gentlemen, 42nd Street Pete.
All right, I'm a little bit calmed down now. My throat's calmer. You know, we were just talking during a break that, you know, you hate doing this shit, but you know something? This is up close and personal, and this is real life. I mean, you want a fucking reality show, here it is. And it's like, not that I'm unhappy about saying what's on my mind. I know people expect other things, but unfortunately, you know something? Like I said before, the reason I didn't get certain places is life takes over. It's the same shit here. But rather than, you know, stay morose for the next half hour or so, I believe I said what I was saying. Like, I'm just going to end it with this. Those men I mentioned were like brothers to me. And to lose them to fuck-ups really angers me to the fucking point where I'd like to go down and just drag one of these fucking pencil-pushing geeks across the fucking desk and, like, lay them the fuck out. But it ain't going to solve nothing. What's going to solve something is everybody just turning around and questioning these motherfuckers. Question them, because that's what they don't like. Because the minute you fucking say something that contradicts what they think, they don't like that, and they back off. Now, the best question you can ask a doctor is, did you ever make a mistake? And if he says no, walk away, because everybody makes fucking mistakes. That's a good rule of thumb to go by. My old man told me that, much as, you know, me and him don't get along, but it's a true thing. If anybody asks me, do I ever make mistakes? I say, yeah, every fucking day. Every minute I make a mistake. And doctors are the same way. They make mistakes. But if they're too fucking full of themselves to admit it, you don't need to deal with them. So like I say, question everything. Because sometimes you're going to be scared if you're sick. Your friends or your relatives are going to be scared when they're sick. You got to be the voice of reason, or bring somebody with you that's the voice of reason. And get the right answers. Because don't be afraid to fucking pin these bastards to the wall. Because if they start squirming and fucking wiggling, they're up to no fucking good. And if they can't give you the answers you want or you need to know, I mean, be educated about shit. You know, pull it up on a net, pull up whatever. That's the mistake I made. I didn't check. I was scared. And I paid for it. So, all right, we'll end that whole thing there. I'll end the show with something else. But maybe, okay, we'll talk about Wasteland. Yeah, we'll talk about what a great show it was. One sec, let me drink something. I didn't stay Thursday night because, like I said, I only live 20 minutes away. So, got in there, I set up, I saw Art Ettinger, saw a bunch of other people. I think the only celeb that had come in so far was Seeker. So, I set my stuff up, and I got ready. So, came back in, checked in Friday morning. Got my usual room on the first floor because I'm not going to do elevators. And went back, priced out a bunch of shit, got ready for Friday night. You know, those were the hardcore shoppers come in. And one thing I'll say about Wasteland, these guys scream. Somebody else claimed they had 20,000 people through the door a weekend before Wasteland in Columbus. I honestly do not believe 20,000 people would cram through a fucking hotel. Chiller Theater made that bold statement, and I was also with Chiller Theater for a good many years. 10,000 people through a door on a weekend is about tops you're going to get. So, and I also heard that hotel wasn't laid out. The big difference between Cinema Wasteland and those other shows is we have 2,000 rabid fucking fans every show that come in there. They don't just go in and grab an autograph and leave. They stay for the whole fucking show. And you get 61 hours worth of programming the whole weekend. There ain't one fucking moment when there isn't a film running, a panel going on, some kind of presentation, whatever. And you get it all. So I think Friday night they ran Russ Meyers up and Kitten introduced it.
Hell yes.
And that was pretty cool. And of course I stayed in the back and told the Russ Meyer story. And then I went to my room and poured myself a glass of wine, which killed half a bottle. I didn't return to my room all night, and that glass was never empty. So God only knows what I drank. But I can verify that at 2 o'clock in the morning, I was in the bar with Ken, and I said, all right, this is it. I'm seeing double. I'm going to bed. So Saturday was the rough day because I actually had four things to do. You had the hardcore wrestling, and the guy who actually trained Toby, Cowboy Dave Donovan, came in, and he added his little commentary to it. So that room was pretty packed. And like I said, Toby took a hit because he had some shirts printed up for our Night of the Living Death matches. So luckily he sold them and probably got some of his money back anyway. So went back to the table. I was right behind Richard Keel, and John Saxon was down the other end. And I had Day Young, PJ Souls, Lana Wood, and Barbara Boucher right across from me. So that made for a very eye candy filled weekend. Then I met Seika. And it was weird because it was after we had done the auction. We did raise around $800 for the auction. And then we did the VHS panel, which, like I said, before, was packed. The whole room was packed. I actually stripped the VHS tape in front of everybody while Ken was, doing the intro or the history of, little segue into it. We actually prepared for this fucking thing,
That's cool.
So we had done that. So I was in the green room or whatever it passes for eating fried chicken after that. And this radio crew came in with Seika. They were going to do an interview. And excuse me one second, let me drink something. He was asking the dumbest fucking questions, like, "You actually think that AIDS came from people fucking green monkeys?" And Seika looks down the table at me and gave me this look, and I says, "Well, I'm gonna come up with something." So I asked her about the whole her issue with Val Kilmer that time at Chiller Theater. And she told me what happened. Like, Val was a douche. And even Henry Winkler said Val was a douche. So, Fonz would know that Val was a douche. So, I thought she was going to, she's one tough-ass broad, I'll tell you that. But, we got along. We I don't know if I could work with her or not. And I actually had nothing planned with her. But, she was pretty cool with me. So, and she knows the same people. She knows Vanessa. She knows all those people. So, that was good. And then, of course, we had Gasly's Night at the Movies with, my segment, the 42 questions from 42nd Street Pete. Actually, we had some we had some good contestants up there this time. Nick from New Jersey was up. So the guy Ken and Angelique from Kentucky or Tennessee or somewhere around there. Angelique, I think that was her name. Yeah, Angelique. So close fucking round, real close. Ken won. They only missed 3 questions. Completely missed.
Wow.
So it wasn't too bad.
My question was, are any of these people going to be coming on the Grindhouse soon?
Well, you never know. I can find out.
That'd be really cool to bring some of those, because I know some of those people you mentioned there, we've talked about having them on for years, and now you finally got to hang out with them. So,
hey, you never know. You know what it was? I was alone this trip, so I really couldn't schmooze as much as I wanted to.
Gotcha.
And they weren't really I don't know where they were hanging out at night, but it wasn't anywhere I was.
Wow, you would think they just went to bed?
I'm trying to think, because at one point I had Ken's sister Barbie. I was down in the lobby with her daughter, and she goes, "They won't come down." And I says, "Tell them there's a pony in the lobby." So they come down. "Where's the pony? Where's the pony?" I'm like, "You actually fucking bought that?
So
there's
funny.
No pony." It was a 7-foot tranny, though. Could have rode that.
Oh, go figure.
I don't know where that came from.
Send him a wasteland. Go figure.
7-foot fucking. Well, anything's possible at wasteland.
I know. It's crazy.
You just click your magic heels together, and God only knows what's going to happen. Yeah. So that was I was bouncing from room, from one guy's room to the lobby. Bop, 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 bop. So. Yeah, I looked at the clock. It was like 3:45, and I'm like, "Oh fuck! I swore I wasn't going to do this again." So, yeah, I stole, last man standing shit and stuff. So, and Sunday was actually pretty busy. Usually Sunday you're sitting there going, "I wish somebody would buy all this shit and get rid of it." And turned out to be a pretty good Sunday.
That's good.
Yeah. So now we're gearing up for October, and I remember some of the guests. I don't remember all of them. I thought he would have posted something, but he's on his way to the Full Moon Tattoo Show in Tennessee, I guess. Nashville? Yeah.
Yeah.
Never been there. But for sure, Michelle Bauer and Fred Olin Ray, James Hampton from F Troop and The Longest Yard and Sling Blade, Bert I. Gordon, one of the, you know, legends in the business, you know, from the 50s, the Big Bug movies. And just confirmed, Sharon Mitchell, first time ever. That's going to be a great panel. And I'm trying to think if there's anybody I'm missing. Oh, Diane Thorne. Goes to She-Wolf of the SS.
No way.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of trying to gear her up to be on Night Watch, and we can promote her appearance.
We'll tell her that.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Of course, she's bringing Howard with her. Howard's all right.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Wouldn't have her without Howard.
Exactly.
So I'm trying to think who else. I know. He was shooting for, I don't know. I'm trying to think if anybody of note. It's probably going to be up when he comes back, but I know it's pretty much filled up already. People are excited.
That's good.
As I blow my nose. But yeah, like I say, everybody screams about, oh, I got 2,000 people here, 2,000 people. You know what it is? Wasteland is just one big party and everybody stays.
That's nobody true. Leaves. Yeah.
Nobody leaves. And a lot of that was showing some really good movies. I got to pick up copies of them. Dear God, No. This crazy biker movie. It opens up with a biker's raping a busload of nuns.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Check it out. I haven't seen it yet. He was supposed to lend me his copy.
Freaky.
Yeah. Of course, Beelzebub premiered his newest movie, Jesus Christ, Total Douchebag. Or Total Douche. I don't know. You know, Beelzebub's, you know, cut above the rest. He's in his own world there.
Yeah.
He's doing fine. You know, there's always, like I said, we ran Machine Gun Kelly twice on 16. And people dug it. So, all in all, you know, you're winding down from the weekend now. Usually I'm wound down by, you know, Tuesday, but being, you know, the situation that arose this week, I haven't wound down yet. So, that's why my throat's all scratchy and shit.
Oh, it makes sense. It does make sense.
I would plan for next, you know, you guys should plan to come out October, because another thing, too, is I'll be turning 60 in September, so I'm having my birthday at Wasteland. You know?
Heck yeah. Fuck that.
Yeah.
That'll be a good thing.
Another thing, too, Doug Waltz from out in Michigan made a 42nd Street Pete head. You can put your light tea bags in it and stuff. It's a big ceramic 42nd Street Pete head that he gave me, which is lovely. And, of course, I'm going to put something completely illegal in it, but what the fuck, you know? So, yeah, I mean, there are no fans like Wasteland fans. It just comes down to that. You will never find a bunch of people that are more exuberant and more into what's going on. And, you know, just great seeing everybody out there again. It's like a family reunion every 6 months. Chaney, Ed, Shauna, Jason, Russ, God, you know, the list goes on and on. Greg, son of Froggy, Ghastly, Lou, Jeff, all those guys. So, yeah, it's just a wonderful experience. Kyra was there, too. Kyra was a last-minute addition.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Because we had said, you know, on the road to Wasteland, I think the week before Wasteland, that Bo Swenson had canceled out. And Ken doesn't like, we're going to replace him with somebody. And, you know, Kyra has all these vet bills and shit. So, you know, we figured, let's give her the table. So she was there. So.
Very nice. That
way. Yeah. So, all in all, like I say, you know, I can't kick about the weekend. It was great. Just a shame. Some of these other shows just can't, you know, learn how to do things right. And, you know, and then we go back to the whole thing that, there's, I'll throw this out there amongst the angst and stuff, that certain people said they were going to talk to me about me, you know, coming into their shows and never did. So, you know, still, fuck it. like I said, I'll retire in October and just do Wasteland and do the radio show and not even give a shit. I mean, if I find out that my DVD sales have slumped to the fucking point of no return, I'm going to have to give that up too. I mean, you got to be fucking sensible. I'm not going to throw good money after bad, you know?
No, you can't, yeah. So,
unfortunately, it's a question of the economy, and these fucking touring sites that just won't fucking give up. So guess what? I gave up. And in me giving up, I fucked you because now you got nothing to steal from me. So, yeah, exactly. I mean, think of it. All these guys with the touring sites, you think you're fucking me, and which you did, but you also fucked yourself, and even better, you fucked the fans because now I can't do anything. My hands are tied. I cannot, you know, realistically expect Pop Cinema to put out this shit when there's already been made in it. And I'm not about to go hawk this somewhere else. And like I said, I've been selling off, you know, my 8mm shit little by little. And if it comes down to it, I may have to sell off the 16s. But you know something? Told these people sooner or later, you know, it was going to happen. You were going to push me into a situation. But I'll be at Wasteland. I'll be here. And like I said, till October, that door is open. If somebody wants to talk me into doing something or think they have something for me to do, I'm more than willing to listen. But I got to start thinking about myself for a change. And, you know, me being the nice guy with a lot of these people and listening to these false promises ain't going to happen anymore. So I'm just going to have to put my priorities in order and, you know, make whatever happens. So yeah, how are we doing on time there?
We got about 5 minutes.
5 minutes? I guess we should wrap it up. Well, thanks for listening to my rant. Thanks for tuning in to all the people that stopped by my table at Wasteland and tell me how much they enjoyed the show. I thank you, and that's why I keep it going. And as Tim from South Korea said a couple shows ago, you're the last man standing. Well, to be honest with you, it's not a great fucking feeling right about now, but I have to realize what somebody told me about an hour ago, that Frank and the rest of these guys wouldn't want you fucking pissing in your soup over this whole thing. And I'm just sad. I'm just sad that, you know, a truly great guy is gone. And Frank, I know you're listening there. I don't know whether people believe in the hereafter. And for his sake and for a lot of people's sake, I hope there is, you know, a better place. I hope there's a better place for all of us. But Frank, you're my brother. I already miss you. And I will see you again somewhere. And yeah, held it together this long, so until next week, stay sick, happy Easter, and I'll have something up for next weekend, so adios. And God bless you, Frank, Norm, and the rest of you guys, especially you, Frank. You're my brother, and I couldn't have asked for a better friend, and for 40 years, man, we had each other's back, and you couldn't ask for anything better than that, so vaya con Dios. We'll be right back.
hurry, 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 step right up to the ticket window for a mere $3.50. That's your ticket to an all-night, 24/7 evening at the Grindhouse. You want spaghetti westerns? How about The Man with No Name? Django? Yeah, they're all in here. How about some bikers like the Hell's Angels, Satan's Slaves, Satan's Sadists? You want some blood and guts? Well, how about H.G. Lewis, Andy Milligan, John Carpenter, George A. Romero, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Ghastly Ones, Ilsa, She-Wolf of the SS? All those hot, horny mistresses guaranteed to dominate your dreams. They're all yours right here in the Grindhouse.
So grab yourself a seat on Saturday night. The booze is